Hi, everybody. My name is Dudney, and welcome to my podcast, Aggressive Negress, where we'll be transgressing on today's taboo topics involving empowerment, gender, race, and relationships. If you've ever been to a house party, people sometimes congregate in the kitchen to chat. So grab your solo cup and let's talk. So what's in my cup, just so you know, is just a little bit of Ciroc VS. It's a really nice brandy. It's very smooth notes, very fruity notes. Goes down very nice. Shout out to my homegirl who put me onto this. But yeah, we are approaching the end of Black History Month, February 2019. There's a lot of people who are just saying, you know, just throw this whole February, throw the whole month away, you know, just throw it away, we'll start over February 2020. Some of those people are me. Full disclosure, I am saying that me. This is a lot. Black History Month 2019 has been quite a ride for Black people, so it is what it is. But in this episode, you guys, I am going to cover a few things that have come up. You know, some of you may have heard of, you're familiar with the stories, some of you may not, but I'm going to get into like a quick personal story of mine having gone to traffic court. In the situation that I was caught out in, I'll also go into the situation with B. Smith and her husband. B. Smith is suffering from Alzheimer's, and her husband is doing quite a few, you know, eyebrow-raising things. I'm also going to talk about R. Kelly. I know. If you recall, I did go over that in my very first episode. Of Aggressive Negress, we did go into R. Kelly extensively, and I feel that against my wishes, we're going to go into that situation, that topic, quite a bit more as we go along. So that's, you know, it is what it is there. And then also, you know, something's in the water in Chicago. Apparently, I'll dive into the Jussie Smollett situation as well. I know there are tons of opinions and thoughts about that. So, you know, let me just go real quick, take another sip, and let's, you know, let's jump right into it. Let's do it, y'all. All right, so boom, right? you know somebody always got a story for you when they... A, you know they from Brooklyn probably, but you know that they got a story from you and they like, yo, all right, so boom, check it, right? But story time. All right, so boom. I am working from home the other day because I had a couple of traffic tickets that I needed to take care of. I had a court date scheduled for that day to go fight them. I had received like the same exact ticket like twice in a day, which I know, you know, they would at least throw one of them out. You know what I'm saying? And a couple of the stuff, I was like, let me just try to just settle all of this on one day, schedule a court date, get it over with. Right. So it actually happened to be Valentine's Day, which was last Thursday, I believe. So I knew I had the court, the date scheduled for Thursday. I just didn't know when, you know, what time. In my head, I'm thinking it's an afternoon thing. I've done this before. It's probably like 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever. So I have the morning. So the problem was the night before, my coworker and I, we had gone out for drinks, something we like to call one, maybe two. Like, you know, when you're like, yo, you know, let's just grab some drinks, you know, we'll just have one, one round, you know, maybe two, and then that's it. And what ends up happening is the complete opposite. It's a night of debauchery, you know, coming in at 2, 3 a.m., you know, just that type of night. And if you recall from my earlier episode, my earlier podcast episode, I had been doing Dry January for the last several weeks. And so I hadn't had anything to drink since about New Year's. So this was going to be my first foray back into the drinking world. You know, we were going to have one, maybe two. And then, you know, it was probably going to be a little bit more than that, but it wasn't going to be, you know, some crazy, crazy night. It ended up being a crazy, crazy, you know, night, because going into the following day, you know, hitting midnight, that was Valentine's Day. And, you know, my coworker and I were both single, and we weren't out there, you know, kind of like, woe is me. We were just, you know, let's grab some drinks, have a good time, or whatever. And that definitely ended up being where I got home at about, mainly because I fell asleep on the train. Okay, I fell asleep on the train. I missed my stop. I ended up all the way in Newark. Yes, Newark, New Jersey, the last stop on the PATH train. I don't live there, but I definitely woke up and you know, got startled with the train kind of lurching forward as it does when it reaches the last stop. And I'm like, oh, fuck. You know, looked around immediately like, God damn it, I fell asleep and I missed my stop. So that's kind of, you know, an indication of how inebriated I was. But the thing about it was that, you know, I figured, look, I'm gonna be working from home the next day. You know, it should be fine. It should be fine. It was not fine. It was not fine at all. So I wake up the next morning, maybe about 8:30 or so, which isn't a big deal. You know, when I'm working from home, usually if I could log in anywhere from like 8:45 to 9 a.m., you know, log into the system, into my email, and get going, that's a, you know, that's a solid start time. And you know, I figured, look, let me just at least brush my teeth, you know, so when I'm having conversations with people, I don't feel like I am truly a bum, even though I fell asleep the night before and was surrounded. If you've ever been on the PATH train, surrounded, I was not trying to be one that morning. So I brushed my teeth. That's really about all I did. I mean, I still had the shirt on and I fell asleep in, and I, you know, and that was it. But I did wake up extremely hungover, and I said, okay, it's about to be that type of day. I even looked at my dog and I'm like, look, bro, I'm not fitting to walk you, not right now. We're just give me a minute. And so one of the only other things I did right after brushing my teeth was try to get something to eat. So I kind of stroll over into the kitchen. It's about 8:50 at this point. Stroll over to the kitchen, you know, about to get something to munch on and start my day. So obviously I know that I was working from home because I had to go, you know, to traffic court and take care of these tickets. And as I mentioned, I didn't know exactly when, but I figured it'd be in the afternoon. The thing about it is, as I was opening the fridge, something told me, let me look at the notice that I had, you know, posted up on the fridge door with a magnet. Let me at least look at this notice and make sure the time is what it is. If I need to maybe shower or something, so I'm a little bit more presentable, I could give myself enough time to do so. And I took a gander. And you know, the date was correct. It was February 14, and it was okay, cool. And the time, I'm like squinting, like, what time am I supposed to be there? The time, y'all, said 9 a.m. I could not even believe it. I was like, what? That don't 9 o'clock? Well, since I'm like, that got to be wrong. Since when they have court so early? Like, I've done this before, 9 o'clock. I looked again. I said, you know what, damn, that sure enough does say 9 o'clock. And mind you, it's about 8:50. And so I'm sitting there like, yo, what am I do? I got a decision to make here. I freaking working from home just to do this. So in the 0.2 seconds I'm standing there, I'm like, I gotta go. I gotta do this. So I run back into my bedroom, and I'm like, all right, let me take on these gray sweat, take off these gray sweatpants that I had just thrown on, just in the house sweatpants. I wasn't going nowhere, so it was cool. But I'm like, let me take these off and throw on some Adidas sweatpants. They're a little bit more presentable. So I did that. I didn't even take the shirt off that I fell asleep in. I was like, nah, we going with this one. We gonna rock with this one. This is how we doing it. And I stood there and I was like, you know what? For a second, I was like, I don't even need a bra. Fuck it. The time it'll take me to put a bra on, titties gonna be hanging everywhere. Well, so what? Whatever. Nipples, whatever. You see it. You've seen it. Everyone will be fine. And then I took that back. I was like, no, Dunny. Your big ass titties don't need to be swinging everywhere in the people's court. You know what I'm saying? Put on a damn bra. And I said, you know what? Yes, putting on a bra. What I didn't put on, because I felt like it was just unnecessary and way too time consuming, I didn't put on any drawers. Felt it wasn't even important. The reason being is that I don't typically fall asleep with them on. So when I threw on the gray sweatpants, I just threw them on. And when I took them off and threw on the Adidas pants instead, I just threw those on too. So what I wasn't important. What would be the worst thing that would happen? You know what I mean? So got the bra on, still in the same shirt I fell asleep in. Put on some Adidas sweatpants, no socks, because that's definitely not important. Threw some sneakers on, out the door. Like, my dog was like, wait, whoa, what's going on? This is just so much movement for a day that didn't seem like it was going to be like this. And I was like, bro, you know what? You and me both, but I gotta go. So, I jumped in my car. I'm like, all right, like 5, 10 minute drive. No, not so much, because it was traffic like a motherfucker on these roads. I don't know where everyone was going. All of y'all should have been at work by now. Like, where are y'all going to where it's taking me 15 to 20 minutes just to get down to the courthouse? You've got to be kidding me. And that's exactly how long it took me. And so I pretty much got there, which is good time, I think, if I do say so myself, about 9:20. Went through security, the metal detectors. I had to For that, I had to take off my jacket, put my bags through, all my cell phone and all my keys and all that through. And it was in that moment, as the security guard was like, "Ooh, I like your bag." I was like, "Thank you." As I'm standing there in the damn shirt I fell asleep in, the damn night shirt I fell asleep in, this morning, really, if you wanna, not even the night before, just a few hours ago, this ratty ass shirt. And I'm like, "Ooh, thank you, boo." She was like, "Yeah, that bag is the only thing I could compliment right about now." Probably was doing me a favor. But in that moment, I was like, "Ooh, thank God I put a bra on, because really, we'd have been sitting there. She'd have been looking at me. I'd have been looking at her. It wouldn't been good. It wouldn't have been good at all. The look of disgust. I could just imagine what it would have been." But I had a bra on. Fuck the t-shirt. I had a bra on. It's okay. So going through that, grab my belongings, and I zip my jacket right the fuck up, all the way up to my chin. Wasn't playing no games. Get in the court, the courtroom. The judge hadn't showed up yet, so luckily, I had the time. So literally sitting there, and probably for another 15, 20 minutes more until he arrived. But like sitting there, I hadn't brought water, which I said I was gonna grab before I ran out the door. I did not. I am hung over. My head hurts. I'm tired. I am hot. You hear me? I am blazing in that jacket. Everybody getting comfortable, you know, waiting for the judge, taking their shirt off. Excuse me, their shirt off, their jackets off, folding it next to them, getting comfortable. I was like, he probably was like, "What's wrong with you?" Somebody come check her again. You know what I mean? Like, why is she still bundled up? Like, something wrong with her. Because I know I would have said that. Like, get comfortable, man. What the fuck? No, I cannot. I cannot get comfortable. I'm sorry. Hotter than a mug. Like, it's just not going well. Like, my head is spinning. You know what I'm saying? So finally, the judge walks in. You know, he's very cheery, very happy. He's all acknowledging that the day is Valentine's Day. And actually, he was a pretty cool judge. Which is surprising because most judges are assholes, like fucking jerks. He was actually pretty cool, you know, kind of letting people, not letting them off, but reducing their fine so they weren't paying the full amount of their original ticket. You know, calling it the Valentine's Day special and this and that and the third. And actually ended up being pretty cool. At one point, he was like, "Y'all all right?" At one point, he was like, "Look," as he did his intro. You know, to the rules of the court of his courtroom, he was like, "If you don't feel good, you know, it's okay. Just let me know, and you know, we can always reschedule you for another day." And let me tell you, I seriously considered taking him up on that offer, like raising my hand, like, "Sir, Your Honor, I can't, I got to go." But I stuck through that bitch. I was like, "I'm here for a reason. I'm." You know, sweating and shit and everything. I'm gonna see this through. But at one another point, he was like, "Hey, you guys doing all right out there? How y'all doing? How am I doing?" You know, and you know, me in the back, I actually put my hand up and kind of put a thumbs up because that's really all I could do. I couldn't speak. You know, it was hard for me to breathe at that point. You know, so I just kind of put the thumbs up in the air, and he, you know. Pointed at me. He was like, "All right, I see you back there, you know." And I was like, "Cool, that's all I got for you, Judge. I'm sorry." And then turns out he called me next, and so he was like, "Oh, look, you know, I'm gonna give you the thumbs up discount instead of the Valentine's Day discount," which again, he was cool about all that. You know, raised my right hand, did the whole thing, you know, and pleaded my case, and you know, talking to the judge and all that. And then it dawned on me in that moment, bro, I barely put a bra on, and I'm talking like official shit with you right now. I barely put a bra on this morning, and if only you knew, I am all the way commando right now. But you know, crust in my eye probably, you know, still definitely still hung over, like, "Oh my God, stop asking me questions. Just let me go." But you know, true to form, he did reduce my fines, and I was pretty happy about that. And the funny thing about it, as I was waiting for my paper with the I guess the decision, so I could give to the cash register people, the cashiers, cash register people. You know, most everyone was like, "Yeah, you know, reduce their fines. Can you pay today?" Most everybody in the courtroom, as I watched all of it unfold, you know, were like, "Yeah, I could pay today. I could pay today. Not a problem." Me included. But as I was waiting for my paper, there was a woman who, you know, had her fines, hundreds of dollars of fines worth of tickets. Apparently, he reduced that to $35, and he was like, "You know, can you pay that today?" And Shorty, you know, Shorty threw me for one because she was like, "No, I can't. Can you give me like 2 weeks?" And I'm like, "Oh shit." I mean, it just kind of had me thinking, yo, not every, you know, everybody has their own situations, and you know, when people don't got it, they don't got it. And he was nice enough to give her 2 months to pay, and it seems like such a minor number, like, "Oh yeah, I got $35, what you need, you know, it's nothing." But for some people it is. So you know, that was a little jarring moment. But once I got my paper, I took my black ass home, paid the ticket and took my black ass home, because I just could not, you know, I just could not function at that point. But yeah, so that was my story time. And I'm a Sagittarius, so you know, my story's got a backstory, got context, got, you know, the whole nine. So I didn't really mean for this thing to take all this time, but let's take a quick break. And then we'll come back with the rest of this podcast episode. So Bea Smith and her husband have been in the news lately. For those who are unaware, Bea Smith is a Black woman who's achieved success and fame as a restaurateur and lifestyle guru. She is now battling Alzheimer's disease, which is a horrible and debilitating, you know, brain disease, just terrible. Her husband made headlines because he moved his girlfriend, who happens to be white, into the home where he and his wife live, where he lives with Bea Smith. I only say that as an observation, by the way. I'm just saying. You know, but apparently this live-in situation was a new development after he had gone public, you know, with the relationship with the girlfriend back in December 2018. So here's the situation with that. Honestly, some of y'all daddies is cheating on your mama right now, okay? Bringing the side chick around, flaunting the side chick in front of her. She had the cookout. She had all y'all's little family functions. And your mama got her full cognitive abilities, okay? I mean, she is as sharp as a motherfucking tack. Some of you are that mama. You know damn well your man is fucking Sharon down at his job. You knew it the first time Sharon done popped up at your kid's birthday party. Hell, you knew it the first time you even heard the name Sharon. And y'all getting on this man for doing the same thing with his wife, who, you know, isn't all the way there because of her mental disease. I mean, come on, get the fuck out of here. Y'all really out here making a big ass deal about something that doesn't even concern you. Shit. Like, literally, your daddy did the same damn thing to your mama with her full mental capacity. You got a friend right now who's cheating or being cheated on in a similar way. What did y'all have to say then? What did y'all do then? Nothing. What did your mama do then? Probably nothing too. They still together, so whatever. Look, personally, I feel like this falls under the category of one of those tragic things that can happen where you really don't understand, like fully understand, until you experience it firsthand. You know, whether it happens to you personally or, you know, to a family member, a friend, a loved one, like you can't really get it until it hits home. Things like having to deal, you know, with sexual assault or rape, having to deal with cancer, or having to deal with mental illness. I can say all I want, y'all. I mean, all day, fuck cancer. Hashtag me too. I stand with Cap. This, that, and the third. These are real issues, and you should support them. Of course cancer sucks, right? You see people dying all the time. The way they wither away, you know, a former shell of themselves. Who's going to say otherwise, right? But guess what? I didn't have real life experience until my grandmother passed away from cancer. I witnessed the effects up close and saw firsthand, you know, what it does to a person. And this was someone I truly, truly loved. And all of a sudden, I got smacked in the face with the shit. Like, literally, that is when it hit me. It wasn't like, you know, before then, I was all like, you know, oh, y'all really out here overreacting because cancer can't be that bad. You know, I never had it. I don't know anyone who has, but I'm sure it's fine. Y'all just being babies. Like, no, cancer has always been fucked up and sucky to deal with. But again, when it hits close to home, it's all types of fuckity, fuck, really fucked up. And it's not until you have to deal with it where you truly see that and feel that. And so for all the people who are, you know, commenting and sharing their opinion about Bea Smith and her husband, I don't know what level of experience they've had with mental illness, even if you can say, well, you know, I have a parent dealing with it. You know, I'm a caretaker for my mother who is suffering from a brain disease. You know, like I can say, you know what I'm saying? That's still not a spouse or life partner. You may know your mom, but you don't know her, not like that. That the husband, the spouse, there's someone who knows them intimately, you know? So even I can have an experience, you know what I'm saying, that's very different from what that man is experiencing, because that's his wife going through it. See what I'm saying? It's a different relationship. They're both, you know, obviously from a place of love, you know, and it's front of mind for me because, you know, that's my mom. But I'm telling you, it would be front of mind, body, spirit, front of my eyes, you know, some all-consuming type shit if it was my person, you know, going through it, who I stood in front of God, family, friends, said my vows to, and then a couple of years, you know, or a couple decades down the road, here we are with this brain disease. You know what I mean? And I will say this. He moved his girlfriend into the same home he shares with B. Smith, right? With his wife. And people are really upset that he had the audacity to do that. And that might be, you know, the one suspect thing about this. Like, maybe she should have her own place. You keep that completely separate. Y'all could do whatever y'all want over there, sleep over, whatever. Like, maybe don't have the other woman there in the same home with you and your wife, you know, and I can see, you know, an argument for that. I will also say this. My mama, when I was a kid, she and my dad were, you know, going through something. They were in the middle of a breakup or more like a separation or whatever. And my dad was still living with us in the house. But the next thing I know, here this new nigga come. Some new dude coming around smiling up in everybody's face. You know, and I'm like, Harpo, who this? My mama's boyfriend. Looking back at it now, it could have been a yellow flag in regards to, you know, her mental state or whatever. Like I said, she's going through her mental issues here in the present day. But maybe a little bit of a sign from what, was it almost 20 years ago? So, you know, who knows? But these were functioning ass adults. And she did that. I mean, my dad, you know, he didn't stay for long after that. Though, in my opinion, he stayed about 2 seconds longer than he should have. But that was a situation for a hot minute. On some backwards-ass Brady Bunch shit, you know? Even at my young age, I was like, oh, okay. This is, interesting. So I don't know. Yeah. Every time I tell that story, everyone always goes, oh, your mama was a G. And I'm always like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess. I can't really tell you what she was thinking, you know, but damn. But yeah, that's what it was. So, you know, I can't really speak on B. Smith and her husband is was my point. You know, she could have told him, listen, baby, this thing is fitting to take a hold of me. You know, take a hold of my brain. It's a brain disease, and it will literally rot your shit from the inside out. You know, as you all know, your brain controls everything. You feel like taking a shit. Your brain's gonna be the one to tell you, okay, go find the toilet, sit down, push, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many little things that you take for granted in all your years on earth, you know, living on earth, that you if you didn't have a piece of your brain, like a little section of your brain that controlled, you know, a particular function, then you would not be able to do said function. And that function, again, because it's not something that you think about, might drastically affect your quality of life or impair your overall abilities because you can't do it. So your brain is literally, going gone. And so she might have really said, "Look, babe, I'm finna be a shell of my former self. I'm gonna begin to regress to a toddler stage here. Do you, boo? Like, I love you enough to understand that it's gonna be hard, and I appreciate you taking care of me, but don't hold your life up for me." I would say that to my spouse. I would totally say that to my spouse. I would want them to know that they could move on because, again, knowing how difficult it is being a caregiver to someone with mental issues, with cognitive disabilities and whatnot, it takes a toll on you. And if you don't have someone, somewhere, some kind of outlet to let that all go, it will eat you alive. It will literally kill them and you at the same time, at a glacial fucking pace. And that is a fact. I don't even need a damn statistic. That is a fact. So, do you, babe? And if you're going out to eat with your new shorty, y'all going to Waffle House or, a little Applebee's 2 for $20 or some or some nice restaurant, maybe a little date night situation or whatever. I would appreciate it if you took it a step further than bringing me back a meal. Like, oh, yeah, listen, we brought you back an entree, a couple of sides. I got the mac and cheese because I know that's your favorite. We were thinking of you while we were out doing a little date night thing. No, bitch, bring me to the fucking restaurant, okay? I want to eat there too. Shit, I don't care if I don't know what the fuck is going on. All I know is I got steak. You know what I mean? Like, let me be up in that bitch, like, la 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 la. About to eat my steak. Ooh, a waiter. Hi. The waiter comes around like, "Oh, did everything come out all right? Oh, hi. Never met you before, but oh, nice of you to ask. Hello. Hi. How are you?" You know what I mean? The waiter's like, "Is she okay?" Yeah, she's fine. All right. She just doesn't remember you from 15 minutes ago when you took our order." You know what I mean? But I'm out here living my best life, dancing, happy, about to eat some damn steak. You know how you start dancing when you really about to tear your shit up? Like, you start singing a little bop about steak. I'm about to tear this steak all the way up. So good. Like, we going out, bitch. Take me with y'all. You know what I'm saying? And if y'all want to take pictures, because that's a way to capture moments like these, then let me know. Yo, babe, we about to take a picture. Pose up. Pose up. Yo, you know what I mean? Get that waiter in here. I like him. He's nice. Get him in this picture too. Let's get him in this bitch. You know what I mean? Like, and then you look back years later, after I'm gone, and you're like, "Yo, remember that night when we went out?" And like the first two times she couldn't remember the waiter. And then they became best friends after. That was funny. That was real. That's solid memories. Like, fuck it. Those are solid memories. Okay? Bring me. Shit. Fuck a to-go plate. Bring me to the motherfucking restaurant with you. Shit. Y'all going to a concert? Bring me to the fucking concert with you. Y'all going on vacation, St. Bart's or some shit? Bring me out to the motherfucking resort with you. Let me put my toes in the fucking white sand and wade in the clear blue ocean water and enjoy this life and this moment. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know what I mean? You're back in that child state again, right? So it's the simple things, the simple pleasures. You're not concerned about life problems. Your brain is literally deteriorating and reversing back to that, you know, like that childlike, you know, stage, that toddler-like stage. It's like you've gone full steam ahead, you know, forward your whole life, and at some point, you know, you hit a U-turn and you're going right back in the direction you came from until you pass. Most people will do this anyway through, you know, natural aging, but this disease just accelerates the process. You know, like dogs, you know, my dog is very, you know, any dog obviously is very in the moment. They're very in the moment creatures. You know, dogs will chew like your shoe. They will chew your motherfucking shoes up. You know what I'm saying? They will gnaw on all types of shit, right? And you get home and you see all this and you know, the dog's like, you know, hey, lovely to see you. Missed you while you were gone all day. And you think we could go out for a walk now? What are you thinking? You have time? What do you want to do? And you looking around like, nigga, did you just chew through all my shit? You know what I mean? And the dog's like, yo, you know, I don't know. Maybe, you know, but what I do know is that I love you. I'm super excited to see you. What do you think about that walk? What are we thinking? You know? You know what I'm saying? As humans, naturally, we're like, yo, come on, what the fuck? What happened? Oh, the hell, man. Right? And the dog doesn't have that mental capacity to be like, oh yeah, about that. See what happened was, you know what I mean? They're just like, oh, hey, you're here now, right? Can we go out now? Can I eat something now? Can I lick you in the face because I love you now? And, you know, that's all that it is. It's the right now. You know, bring me to the fucking restaurant, bring me to the beach, to wherever, and let me live in the now. All right, so after the first episode of Aggressive Negress, where I dived into the R. Kelly situation, this was after watching the first part of the Surviving R. Kelly documentary. I said I wasn't going to talk about this nigga again. If you want to dive into that episode, it's called Are You and R. Kelly More Alike Than You Think? Again, Aggressive Negress is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. I highly recommend that you check it out. But anyway, like I said, I wasn't planning on bringing him up as a subject on this podcast again. But God, God, ooh, child, God had other plans. You hear me? Man, so Mr. Robert Kelly, if you haven't heard, was charged this week in Cook County, Illinois, with 10 counts. 10. Okay. 10 counts of criminal sexual abuse involving at least three underage victims between 1998 and 2010. The counts each carry a maximum of 7 years in prison. That is a maximum of 70 years, in case math is not your strong suit. Okay. His DNA. What? Oh my God. Oh, Jesus. Take the wheel. His DNA was found in semen on one of the accuser's shirts, as well as semen found on one on a shirt worn by another individual that was submitted for DNA testing. Okay? DNA. Y'all know what that, everybody has a specific makeup. This is his fucking DNA. All right? Praise Jesus. Praise. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? And by the way, due in large part to the surviving R. Kelly documentary, Cook County's state attorney Kim Fox actually asked that, the possible victims of sexual assault or domestic violence, by the hands of R. Kelly, she asked that they come forward in order to open up a new investigation. And honey, my guess is quite a few of them took her up on that. And ooh, I So just last week, I had retweeted a tweet from Michael Avenatti. He's an attorney. He's representing several of R. Kelly's victims. In it, he said that he had just turned over new evidence to Cook County prosecutors. What evidence, you ask? A motherfucking videotape. A tape. Another tape. Not the same joint that he had, at the old trial or whatever. Another one. And what got me is this. Okay, this tape is supposedly clear as day, right? If you remember R. Kelly's last trial, back in the day, there was a lot that was said about, oh, that's not him on the video, that's not him, that's not him, that's his brother, on the tape, that's not him. Well, honey, we got you dead to rights now, okay? This time in full 1080p, HD quality. Nigga, that is you. Okay, it is clear. It is clear. The young girl, and the man in it, allegedly, but is Robert. In the video, they both refer to that child's body parts as being 14 years old. They're referring to the young lady as being 14. In it, he's also positioning the camera, zooming in, zooming out, kind of doing his whole director's edition thing with it. He even apparently asks the young woman to urinate and then urinates on the young lady as well. Again, if you recall his last trial, there was a lot of media fodder about him peeing on the young women on the tape. So clearly, this nigga is up to his old tricks. He's still peeing on girls. Like, what in the actual fuck is wrong with you? What it So Bond. Bond was set for him earlier today, as a matter of fact. Bond was set at $1 million. I'm sure he was able to pay that. That's, it's probably a drop in the bucket. But trust and believe, y'all, trust and believe. I cannot wait to step side to side over R. Kelly's motherfucking grave. I am going to throw a fiesta at this man's downfall. It seems like you're ready to go under the jail, sir. I hope niggas get all up in your chocolate factory every single night while you are in there. And look, I know it's pretty. It's pretty drastic. It's going pretty far to wish death, on somebody. But I said what I said. I am here for it all. I cannot wait to see how this shit unfolds. I don't, and who knows what'll happen. I'm pretty sure at the end of this, I might be a little upset. I'm trying to manage my expectations. But I really, 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 really hope that justice is served. This is me like being 100%. Like, I really hope justice is served here. I really do. And so with that being said, I may just have to keep talking about this piece of shit. 'Cause Because y'all know I'm gonna be wanting to give y'all the updates. Like, what? And, you know, as a side note, funny enough, as a side note, I was brunching in Brooklyn last weekend. I won't mention where because the place was just terrible. It was terrible. But they had a nice little 90s and, you know, early 2000s, little hip hop and R&B playlist going. It was cute. So the first few seconds of Ignition comes on. And I turned to my friend like, ain't this about a bitch? Like, are they for real? Like, for real right now? And like, maybe like 5 seconds after I said that, someone who, you know, must have shared my same reaction and sentiments, someone hit next on the playlist, right? So, someone hit next and some other shit started to play. And I look at my friend, we all busted out laughing, you know what I'm saying? Because of the timing of it all. But yeah, y'all better have changed that shit. You know, fuck. I mean, I'm never going to eat there again, but still. And lastly, while we're on the subject of Cook County, Illinois, Jussie Smollett. Sir, I don't even know where to begin. I tweeted last week that if it turned out that Jussie had faked his whole story, yo, my nigga, it's a wrap for you. Like, you're done. You're done. Right? And fast forward to present day, you just might be. And I say might because I personally would like to see this thing, you know, play out. You know, does it look good? Hell no. Hell no. But I'm on the, you know, I'm on the, you know, some wait and see. I'm on that wait and see type shit. I just am. Like, every day there are new details just being released about this whole thing. It's just, who's getting this information? How? I don't know. But every day there's something new. There's conflicting stories, denials, accusations, surveillance footage. It's too much. It's just too much. Did he pay his attackers to beat him up with a post-dated check? Did he send a threatening letter to himself, to the Empire set? Was he that unhappy with his salary? It's like, you know, find out next time on fucking Dragon Ball Z. Like, I literally can't. I just cannot. It's like a real life episode of Empire. I'm just waiting for Taraji P. Henson to show up in full cookie regalia and smack Jussie's, you know, Jamal Lyon character upside the head for being so stupid. You know what I mean? Like what episode and which season is this? Where are we at here? I need to catch up. So where are we at? So basically, for those who aren't familiar, Jussie Smollett, who is black and openly gay, maintains that he was the victim of a brutal hate crime that took place like late January or so. The story goes, he was out, as the story goes, like I'm about to fucking recite a fucking fable, like, as the story goes, he was out around 2 a.m. getting a sandwich when two men attacked him and, you know, shouted out some racial and homophobic slurs, poured some bleach on him, wrapped a noose around his neck, you know, allegedly. And a police report was filed. Some people thought that this was sus from the jump, but, you know, the police continued to do their due diligence. And I guess the skepticism was so strong that Jussie felt like he had to speak out. And so cue the interview that he did with Robin Roberts on Good Morning America. Personally, I didn't think that was a smart move on Jussie's part, but, you know, I'm sure he thought My acting skills are A1, so I'll be able to convince the American public that this is a real thing that, that happened. Meanwhile, he's receiving all types of support online, social media. Celebrities are lining up, one by one to throw their entire support behind him. I won't even list them all, but like tons, tons. The shocking development that comes next, and this is a doozy. The police arrest two suspects. The two brothers. They're two brothers. They're of Nigerian descent. And they're arrested in relation to this attack. Oh, but wait. They start singing like canaries, saying Jussie paid them to do it. One of them was Jussie's personal trainer. And I guess the other had a small role on the show, on Empire, the very same show that Jussie plays Jamal Lyon, has played that character on the show for the last 5 seasons. Furthermore, a police raid of the brothers' home turned up ropes, masks, and bleach. I know, right? It's just too much. But the thing is this, as I mentioned earlier, I'm on that wait and see wave. That just might be my thing. But just it's really it says a lot when everyone's just kind of jumping, to conclusions. There's so much information being shared every day, and it's all different and so on and so forth. There's even some speculation that the check was written for a whole other reason than what initially was it was initially purported to be. Look, because it's so public, he's already been tried in the court of public opinion. You know what I'm saying? Everyone's got one. Everyone's got something to say. This particular court, public opinion is the judge, is the jury, is the executioner. You know what I mean? And nor do they follow, your typical judicial system rules. Evidence? Fuck that. We don't need no evidence. Do you need testimony? No, we don't need no testimony. Trust me, this is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't need, opening statements, closing arguments. You don't need none of that. That's minor. That is just unnecessary. Tell you what we feel. Guilty. You know what? And this is your punishment. Boom. You know what I mean? Like, people, you just Google the name, hashtag the name, and you'll see a lot of people going one way or the other. The story was bullshit, this and that and third. It is what it is. I, will never take someone's story of sexual assault, of a hate crime, of any sort of attack like this as false. You know what I mean? Because whether it can be, of course, women, what was it that it was the girl who lied on Chris Brown, whatever the case may be. I think she's still even trying to fight for her situation, and Lord knows, what that situation really is. But that ended up being not quite what it was as it initially was reported, right? So things like this happen all the time. People will lie, you know what I mean? And then also people will really, obviously tell their story, tell their truth, and it's not up to us to kind of judge right off the bat, oh, you lying, or oh, just throw your support behind them, let whatever the investigation yields, let that happen in its totality. Like, things will develop over time where it kind of skews it one way or the other. Just let it develop, let it happen till the very end, and then you go from there. And that's kind of how I feel about Jesse. Whatever his situation is, whatever is going on, apparently Cook County is on it, and they will go ahead and handle that. But earlier this week, Cook County State Attorney files a felony disorderly conduct charge against Jussie for allegedly filing a false report, which was mere hours after Chicago police confirmed that he's a suspect in a criminal investigation. So they're coming for him. They're like, wait a minute, this Now we really not, you know, things are really not adding up. And so now we're coming for you. There's even store surveillance footage showing the two brothers buying hats, buying ski masks the day before the reported attack took place. Like, woo, I just can't, y'all. I cannot. This is just too insane. Y'all are out here wasting Cook County prosecutors' time. They are busy. You hear me? They are busy. They are trying to put R. Kelly under the jail. And just so you fucking with the church's money, honey. As a matter of fact, I'd like to declare a ceasefire right now in Chicago. There needs to be a moratorium on all crime in Cook County, at least until the weather warms up. Okay, y'all need to stop. Just stop. If you got beef with a nigga, see him at the cookout, you know, Memorial Day weekend or July 4th or something like that. See him then and air your grievances out at that time. If you feel like you need to rob and steal in order to eat, just wait until you could run away while wearing just a t-shirt and shorts. You know, no heavy winter coat to slow you down. I think that'll just it might work out better for you that way. Just think about it. Think twice, Cook County. Just think twice. Give it a rest. Just for a few months, all right? Get y'all shit in order because they busy. They're working on something, all right? Damn. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to another episode of Aggressive Negress. As you know, I'm your host, Dudney. I apologize. These episodes, recording these episodes, are getting a little bit away from me. I am trying to keep to my every, you know, 2 weeks. Every time you get paid, you know, come check me out, come check for a new episode, and I'm trying to keep to that schedule. But child, listen. I've it's difficult, but I am trying. I am trying. There's so many other topics I wanted to get into on this episode as well. I didn't, and you know, because it was already kind of getting a little bit lengthy. But you know, definitely there's some space to dive into those things on future episodes. You know, definitely wanted to get into the Abducted in Plain Sight documentary that's on Netflix and the absurdity that is that particular documentary. The anniversary of Whitney Houston's passing was earlier in the month, on the 12th, I believe, the 11th or the 12th. And I definitely wanted to get into a Whitney Houston appreciation episode. That might be just like a mini episode that I do, just to show love to Auntie Whit, you know, and a couple other, you know, there's a couple other things too. I won't kind of give it all away, but there are a few things, more things that I want to get into on this episode that I did not. But stay tuned. I will definitely touch on these things and more. As always, you can find me on your social medias, Twitter and Insta. My personal handle is at I am Dudney, IamDudnie. That is my real name. That is my real first name. Did not make that up. And then I also have accounts that are associated with this podcast, Aggressive Negress. On Instagram, it is at a underscore negress, and on Twitter as Aggressive Negress. You know, so hit me up and let me know what y'all want me to talk about too. If there's anything in particular that you want me to cover, I'm happy to do so. I think I want to do a little bit of you know, getting some questions from you guys and really diving into maybe a little bit of advice giving and stuff like that, because I'm great at that. Ask anyone. Share this episode as always. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Even better, subscribe to Aggressive Negress. And of course, you will get the notification whenever a new episode is available. We are on all the platforms, wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google, the whole nine. So, you know, no excuses, you guys. And, you know, thank you. Thank you again for listening and for coming to my kitchen talk. You know, solo cups in the air. Cheers, you guys. Bye.